Rock out is Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Well, guys, welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast on this special edition on this Friday, April 30th. And it's not a special edition because we're going to do something different or whatnot, but it is special because I get to make an announcement that I'm really looking forward to. And I know Matt already kind of blew the whistle last night on his Mailbags edition and on Nostalgia, which is now exclusive to Patreon. But him and I are coming together, the mega powers once again joining forces for a regular weekly show that will be exclusive to Patreon. And that is our new What If show that will be debuting next Saturday. And I'm really excited for this because I think fantasy booking, which is kind of like what we'll be doing, let's say, what if, just for argument's sake, what if Stone Cold Steve Austin never got injured and had to retire too young? Or what if Eddie Guerrero had never passed away? Like, those are really cool scenarios that I think really drove this idea and had Matt and I put our heads together and really collaborate to do this show. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but you know, it's going to be exclusively on Patreon. So I think you guys should get over there, and just for $1 a month, you'll get that show, Nostalgia, which will be exclusive content along with all of our other shows that will be over on that feed as well with no ads. And I gotta say, I hate the ads on this show. You know, I'm part of this show and I still hate them. And that's why I think Patreon is just such a great deal. But, you know, we're not here to talk about ads and Patreon and other shows. We're here to talk about rivalries. And last week, I piggybacked off of the week prior. So 2 weeks ago, I did McMahon and Umaga versus Trump and Lashley. And then last week, I did Taker and Batista against one another because it happened in that same time frame. And I got some requests to do Edge and Undertaker, but I'm going to put that one on the back burner a bit because we're going to do Edge, but we're not going to do the Undertaker because I want to switch up the time frame a bit. And this one is going to be Edge versus Randy Orton, which started, believe it or not, all the way back in 2004. And let's go back to really set the stage as to where both men were at when they first clashed in the summer of 2004. So we'll start with Randy Orton. And we've talked about Randy Orton numerous times as to where he was right in the midst of the peak Ruthless Aggression era. Obviously, he was part of Evolution and was in the midst of an historic run as the Intercontinental Champion. And Randy Orton had won the Intercontinental Championship at Armageddon in December of 2003, which is kind of regarded as the Evolution Night of Shine. You know, he won the Intercontinental Championship, Batista and Ric Flair won the World Tag Team titles in a Tag Team Turmoil, and Triple H won the World Heavyweight Championship in a Triple Threat match between Goldberg and Kane. So we kind of got this whole run where Evolution was dominating. But as the, you know, Raw spilled into 2004 and we started, you know, getting a bit farther away from that historic Night of Shine or infamous Night of Shine, depending which way you looked at the Evolution, you know, Triple H was no longer World Heavyweight Champion. Batista and Ric Flair were no longer World Tag Team Champions. But Randy Orton was still the Intercontinental Champion all the way until the summer of 2004. So we're pushing like 6-7 months at this point. But it was clear where they were going with Randy Orton. And his career at this point was kind of running parallel with John Cena, who was over on SmackDown, who had just finished up his first run as the United States Champion. And I think he lost that belt, I want to say. I would have to go back and look, but he may have lost it around the Great American Bash. It got unified. I remember Booker T and him got into a pretty good rivalry over it. I'll for sure do that one sometime soon. But you had Randy Orton kind of on this meteoric rise on Raw and John Cena doing the same thing on SmackDown. And, you know, Randy Orton had just finished up his great feud with Mick Foley that culminated at Backlash 2004 in that amazing Extreme Rules match that I've already reviewed. They had the tag team match, the 3-on-2 handicap match against the Rock and Saw Connection, and he tagged with Batista and Ric Flair. So Randy Orton was really doing great things and was kind of being built as the next version of Triple H, as the next big heel on the Monday Night Raw card. But at the same time, following WrestleMania 20, Edge, who had previously been on SmackDown since the beginning of the brand split in 2002, got drafted over to Monday Night Raw. But you have to understand, for the preceding 2 years here, like, Edge had really had a hard go with injuries, and that's kind of telling as to where we got to with Edge by 2010, when he was forced to retire. Like, he missed WrestleMania 19 and WrestleMania 20 because of injuries. So he never really got off the ground with his initial push on SmackDown, because when they disbanded Edge and Christian in mid to late 2001, he was the guy that they were pushing. And we see that all the time with tag teams. We saw it with Jeff and Matt Hardy, that the former was always viewed more as the main event guy in the eyes of creative and Vince McMahon. And they brought him over to Monday Night Raw originally as a babyface. And Edge kicked off his Monday Night Raw career with one of the biggest pops that one could get during that time.
I've been able to withstand two general managers. I've even stood up to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I want to make it clear to every one of the talent on both rosters, anybody that I might acquire in the trade, Eric Bischoff is back in a damn big way. My way.
Don't forget that midnight trade deadline.
Your way, that's it!
What is this?
Wow, so Edge comes back, and after over a year, drafted to Monday Night Raw, comes to the ring and spears Eric Bischoff, who was just the over-the-top heel authority figure at that time, kind of almost on par with Vince McMahon back in the Attitude Era, spears him. And I don't know if you guys caught it, but that was during Edge's time when he was using, I believe it was the Rob Zombie who did that theme song. And you know what, to be honest, I would argue that it's better than the one he has now. Like, that one, Never Gonna Stop Me, like, that was such a badass theme song. And it was just crazy to see Edge come back as, like, this overwhelming babyface. Because I know he's a babyface now, or maybe kind of teetering on the brink of heel, kind of a tweener after his build with Daniel Bryan to WrestleMania. But he had never really dipped his toe as the heel at this point. Besides when he was with Edge and Christian, By 2004, Edge was almost exclusively a babyface, as a singles competitor at least. And even when he was a heel with Edge and Christian, it was more of like kind of like the trollish, goofing around heels. Kind of almost like a kind of like a Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode type of heel. Like not that sadistic rated R superstar. So we didn't even know about the rated R superstar at this point. We were still at least a year and a half away from that whole gimmick. But, you know, Edge comes in, makes a big impact on Monday Night Raw on his first night on the program, spearing the general manager. He won the tag team championships rather quickly with then world heavyweight champion Chris Benoit. Had a decent run with them. I actually remember seeing them drop the tag team titles to La Resistance at a Monday Night Raw live in Montreal, which made sense. La Resistance, their whole gimmick was from Quebec and Montreal, blah, 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 blah. And he quickly got enticed with a feud with Randy Orton for the Intercontinental Championship. And it was a pretty cool dynamic because you got to think back to 2004. Randy Orton's on the rise as this heel mid-card champion. Edge comes back after a year plus hiatus on the shelf, missing two WrestleManias. I think he had been out of action since February of 2003 at this point, missed 19 and 20, like I previously said. And they come back, he comes back, and he's kind of being pushed as that mid-card babyface. And for the Intercontinental Championship, like, think how crazy that, how crazy important the Intercontinental Championship is that Randy Orton and Edge are feuding over it.
Are you looking for that perfect gift, no matter the occasion? I think I've got the website for you guys. No, I know I've got the website for you. It's called MyCrazyGadget.com. That's MyCrazyGadget.com. So what makes this different from every other website? Well, number one is the product selection. So for that gadget person in your life, this is the ultimate place to go. The website is laid out so cleanly and nice that it'll keep you coming back. I can guarantee it. Plus, there's free delivery on all orders, free returns. There's no questions asked, and a money back guarantee, a 60-day money back guarantee. Typically, you see 30 days, right? Well, no. Double that for this one, guys. 60-day money back guarantee. So what kind of stuff are we talking about? Mini Bluetooth speakers, there's wireless mouses, there are fitness bracelets, fitness watches. Guys, this place has it all. Go to mycrazygadget.com. They're also on Facebook if you want to check them out. Trust me, for that techie person that you know in your life, this will be the place to go. You will not be disappointed. Check out mycrazygadget.com.
And they actually had a build booked for Vengeance 2004, which was the pay-per-view preceding SummerSlam 2004. And leading up to this pay-per-view, we actually had The Rock come back and have an interaction with Randy Orton on Monday Night Raw. And this was the point when The Rock was very, very, very part-time. And following the summer of 2004, we wouldn't go on to see him in a wrestling ring and for seven long years, as he famously said when he returned in 2011. But before The Rock left the building, he had a special, gift for Randy Orton with the help of Edge.
Kyle, come on, man. It's good. You're going to go out party tonight. Miami Pie in the house. Yeah. The Rock, I'll tell you what, if he's got to leave his millions and millions, and The Rock will leave like this. The Rock says this. Tonight, what's going to happen, guaranteed, is Eugene is going to whip Triple H's ass all over that ring. Guaranteed. Hey, hey, somebody please shut him up and get him out of the damn arena. Please, get him out of the arena. Enough's enough. Oh, damn. Oh, Randy, you still in the ring? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Randy Orton, I'll tell you what. If you think the ass-whooping that The Rock just laid on you was bad, in 3 seconds from now, you're going to feel something you ain't never felt. The Rock guaranteed tease. Check it out. Randy Orton. 3, 2, 1.
What are you talking about?
Jeremy!
Wapima, Psycho Evolution, Randy York, and Batista later tonight. Look, here goes The Rock. He's going out.
So The Rock helps Edge set up Randy Orton, and as you said, that later that night, there's a tag team match between Edge and Chris Jericho versus Batista and Randy Orton, which built to the Intercontinental Championship match between Edge and Randy Orton. And Edge actually would win the Intercontinental Championship and end Randy Orton's historic run as the Intercontinental Champion in July of 2004. Which was the first installment of their rivalry. And obviously, Randy Orton went on to win the World Heavyweight Championship less than a month later at SummerSlam. Edge ended up turning heel. He won Money in the Bank at the following WrestleMania, cashed it in. And then they eventually formed Rated RKO in late 2006, early 2007 to go up against D-Generation X. So after this little program ended in 2004, it was kind of the last we saw of them against one another, and it was for several reasons. Number one, Edge quickly turned heel. You know, he dropped the Intercontinental Championship rather quickly to Chris Jericho following SummerSlam, and they switched him to heel. And Randy Orton, after a failed babyface run, went back to being heel as well, which led to them forming Rated RKO. And number two is that in 2007, Edge moved over to SmackDown, like I outlined last year. So you kind of had Edge as the top heel on SmackDown and Randy Orton as the top heel on Monday Night Raw, which was kind of the norm from 2007 up until Edge retired in 2010. And Randy Orton was kind of always in the WWE Championship picture, while Edge was always in the World Heavyweight Championship picture. And for a pretty strong stretch there, up until they got merged, those two belts, World Heavyweight was exclusive to SmackDown, WWE exclusive to Raw. So that's when they kind of separated. And we didn't see them against one another in a heated rivalry for almost pretty much 14, 15 years. But their rivalry got renewed at the Royal Rumble in 2009 when this happened.
Who's it gonna be?
He's thinking of it.
No, no way. Oh my!
You gotta be kidding me.
The Rated R Superstar! Edge is here!
So Edge returns, and I'm sure all you guys knew where I was going with that, but Edge returning in early 2019 at the Royal Rumble was what really kickstarted this rivalry back up, as, you know, he had the encounter with Randy Orton as they teamed up for a brief moment in the Royal Rumble, and then Edge ended up eliminating him before Randy Orton could do the same to him. But it was crazy because you got to think about what happened with Randy Orton in Edge's absence for 9 years. And, you know, Edge retired following WrestleMania 26. And following that, you know, Randy Orton became the face of the Authority, number one. You know, after winning the Money in the Bank briefcase in 2013, he cashed in on Daniel Bryan with the help of Triple H. He won the undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Championship against John Cena at the unification match at TLC 2013 in a TLC match. You know, at WrestleMania 30, he headlined with Daniel Bryan and Batista. He had the headlining match against, He was like the SmackDown main event at WrestleMania 33 in the underwhelming first installment of him versus Bray Wyatt after he won his second Royal Rumble in 2017 and went on to win the WWE Championship. So, like, in Edge's absence, Randy Orton kind of became one of the faces of the company. And, I mean, it wasn't immediately following Edge's retirement that Randy Orton kind of exploded. He was already on top of his game, obviously had the whole run with Legacy. And I believe at WrestleMania 26, Randy Orton was actually in a triple threat match with Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. So at the time of his retirement, Edge was arguably higher on the card than Randy Orton. You know, he retired as the World Heavyweight Champion after successfully defending it against Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania. But then after a few years of Randy Orton kind of just like floundering in the upper mid card, he got back into the main event picture, and then he disbanded from the Authority, had the crazy good underrated match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31, missed WrestleMania 32. So Randy Orton kind of blossomed with Edge out of the picture, and you could make the argument that Edge would have overtaken Randy Orton as the top heel in the company, kind of like the counterpart to John Cena, had it not been for that retirement, that forced early retirement. So when Edge came back, it made sense for WWE to look to rekindle this rivalry right off the bat, or not even a rivalry, because as I previously mentioned, they had been tag team partners more so than they had been actual rivals. Because the only other time they had been actual rivals was in 2004, feuding over the Intercontinental Championship. So it wasn't like it was this mega feud or anything. You know, it culminated at a match at Vengeance 2004 for a mid-card championship. So the way WWE and Creative decided to take this program following the Royal Rumble in 2019, the very next night on Raw, was something I don't know if any of us were expecting.
We're gonna feel about this. I don't know how all these people are gonna feel about this, but what if Rated RKO got back together one more time?
So just when you think Randy Orton is coming out there to, you know, rekindle Rated RKO, he hits Edge with an RKO, beats him with a steel chair and then hits him with a concerto. And to be honest, I was pretty shocked because I remember building to this point in WWE and thinking back to where Randy Orton was as a competitor. And he had kind of become an upper mid-card babyface legacy star. I mean, he had a bit of heel runs as well. Like, he had the whole program with Jeff Hardy over on SmackDown. But for the most part, in the preceding 3-4 years, ever since he had disbanded from the Authority, he had just become an upper mid-card babyface, with his biggest claim to fame being his program of duping the Wyatt family and conquering them, and then that infamous, House of Horrors match. And then I remember he dropped the belt to Jinder Mahal at Backlash in 2017, and I said to myself, like, okay, Randy Orton's time as a main event guy, face of the company, whether that be heel or babyface, is pretty much done. And it was okay. You know, in 2017, he had accomplished pretty much all that he could. And, you know, WrestleMania 2019, which was WrestleMania 35, he had the match with AJ Styles. And then he moved over to Raw after SmackDown moved over to Fox, which was the first time he had been on Monday Night Raw since they restarted the brand split in 2016. And he had a brief program with Drew McIntyre before Drew turned babyface and all that. So it was really kind of just Randy Orton floating in obscurity. And when he did this, you're just like, oh man, sadistic heel Randy Orton? We haven't seen this in how God knows how long. Because even when he was the Authority heel, he was kind of almost like just the corporate stooge. Like, Triple H did more of the talking. It was kind of like when The Rock was the corporate champion and he had Vince McMahon beside him. That was kind of how Randy Orton was in 2013, 2014, with Triple H at his side. But Randy Orton as this sadistic heel, it was like the first time we had seen that since he was leading Legacy. Like, remember that time that Stephanie McMahon was knocked out in the ring and Triple H was handcuffed to the bottom rope and he kissed her when she was unconscious? Like, that was the Randy Orton that, I don't want to say we all knew and loved, because who could love someone like that? But it was like, this was like the Randy Orton we had all been missing. Because even though he had rose to stardom over the preceding 8-9 years in Edge's absence, was he at his best aside from what he did in the ring? And no one, I think, could ever question Randy Orton's in-ring ability or his capability to putting on the best match. You know, Jimmy Corderas, former referee who now works for Sportsnet, has always said Randy Orton is the prototype physically if you were to build a professional wrestler. But he never really quite hit his potential, and they've talked about that a few times in interviews. And I think Randy Orton brought that to light when he appeared on the Broken Skull Sessions, 2 months ago now? That it was only really until Edge came back that, specifically in promos, he really started to find his groove. And this was the Randy Orton that we, along with himself, had all been missing out on during the 2010s. Because in the late 2000s, even though maybe he was going through some stuff personally, which they referenced with in this promo and him talking about Edge helping him through this and all that, on screen he was still kind of doing his quote-unquote best. You know, he went into 2 WrestleManias back-to-back as WWE champion, WrestleMania 24 and 25. 24, he had the triple threat match with John Cena and Triple H, and 25, he headlined against Triple H. And then you have him kind of slide down and down and down the card in each WrestleMania that succeeded that, until he got that brief push in 2017, and then he went back down the card and was in the U.S. Championship picture feuding with Jeff Hardy. So seeing Randy Orton back at this level, and to be honest, not even back at this level, just on this unprecedented level that we had never really seen him at, was really awesome to see and made you realize, like, man, this guy is arguably the best of all time when he wants to be. And I think it's fair to make that claim that when Randy Orton is on in the ring, promo wise, he is the cream of the crop. And maybe if he would have done this through the entirety of his career, maybe he could have surpassed John Cena. Like, I don't know, because John Cena just knew his character so well. I know people crap all over him, but John Cena played his part so well and was that overwhelming babyface. And if you are that mega babyface, you will always have that one step up on the mega heel, because I truly believe it is much harder to get over as a mega babyface. And just because I don't think WWE properly knows how to book babyfaces, you know, Drew McIntyre is a prime example of that. But Randy Orton could have been like that mega heel, kind of like what Triple H was in the late Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression Era. And we really saw Randy Orton completely come into his own when he got to come face to face with Edge's wife, Beth Phoenix.
I owe you an explanation. Edge and I were battling all over the world in main events of pay-per-views for the Intercontinental Championship, and we were stealing the show every damn night. And then a few years after that, Edge and I started our Rated RKO, and you know what we did? We became tag team champion. And just when things couldn't get any better, just when we were flying high as high can be, I got a little too close to the sun. I flew a little too high myself. I hit a brick wall. I hit a rough patch, to say the least of it. And I made some very poor life choices. And I dug a hole so deep, Beth, that I should have been buried in it. But you know why I wasn't? Because Edge reached down, grabbed me by the hand, and pulled me up out of that hole. He saved my life. He made me realize that there's more to life. There's love, there's children, there's having a family, starting a family. I was able to go to volleyball games, baseball games, go to my son's play, help them with their homework, teach them how to be men, teach my daughters how a man should treat a woman. And I was able to do that because your husband, Edge, saved my life. I realized in this very ring that Edge thought that he was back for good. Edge thought that he was going to start competing on a regular basis, and I knew better. I knew that someone like me was going to make a name for themselves and put your husband in a wheelchair or possibly worse. And I wanted you to have a husband. I wanted your two little daughters, Lyric and Ruby, to have their father. How are your daughters, by the way? Thanks to me, Edge is going to be able to be their father, be your husband. He's going to be able to go on hikes, ride bikes, take them to volleyball practice, softball practice. He's going to be able to be there for them because of me. And I did it because I love Edge, I love you, and I love your two little girls. Everybody thinks it was my fault, but you know deep down in your heart, you know with every shred of your being that it's not my fault, is it, Beth?
So you could just feel the authenticity, easy enough for me to say, authenticity oozing out of Randy Orton. And that's not a word that had been synonymous with Randy Orton, arguably at any point in his career. But when he had this promo against Beth Phoenix, it's like it just oozed out of him, and everything came together for Randy Orton. And it was like we got to witness something that we had all been witnessing, or lacking rather, for how many years at this point? Almost 8 or 9. It had seemed like he had just been going through the motions, for lack of better terms. And how he culminated this program with Beth Phoenix, or not this program, this promo rather, is where we would see Randy Orton going for the following 8, 9, 10 months.
No.
And Randy Orton hits her with that devastating RKO, and another type of thing that we aren't accustomed to seeing on modern day WWE programming is a male getting physical with a female. So it was just where they went with Randy Orton to kick off this renewed rivalry between Edge and Randy Orton was so exciting to see, because you had the return of Edge and almost like the return of the real peak level Randy Orton that we had just been so starving for so many years. And then unfortunately, COVID hit just around 13, 14 months ago at this point. And I gotta say, this program was probably the one that was most affected at the time for so many reasons. You know, Edge obviously coming back to no crowd at a WrestleMania is number one. You had Randy Orton on this mega heel run, something that has really, really, really cooled off. And now you could argue that maybe he's a babyface after the whole underwhelming culmination of his rivalry with The Fiend. And it's like Randy Orton's best work, Edge's return, their back-to-back matches just were all for nothing almost. And it's really, really a shame. It's really a shame. And they did the best they could at WrestleMania in that, was it a street fight or falls count anywhere, something like that, when they end up backstage, the workout area. And I think it was a bit overkill. It kind of stretched a bit too long, how they ended up on top of the trailer with Edge getting the win. But, I mean, I understand that it was uncharted waters for WWE and for the competitors, and they did the best they could. Then they had the greatest wrestling match of all time, which caused Edge to get the, was it a tricep or bicep injury that caused him to miss 6 or 7 months. And, I mean, it's a shame that it had to happen without fans. But the one good thing about this, even without fans, is that what came out of this was the best version of Randy Orton I think we have ever seen. And it's weird to say that that's the biggest takeaway from this rivalry when it was Edge's first rivalry upon his return to the company after nearly missing a decade. But to be honest, you know, Edge came back and, you know, they never really kind of picked it up again. Like, Edge beat him on a Monday Night Raw following his victory at the Royal Rumble, which kind of just put a bow on their rivalry and put it to bed, gave everyone some closure. But I feel like this rivalry catapulted Randy Orton into, like, that next stratosphere. And the run he had in the summer of 2019 and his program against Drew McIntyre, which, I mean, the way that he just dropped the belt to Drew in the go-home match to Survivor Series was just such a crime and really just completely defused his, pulled the plug or pulled the rug out, whatever analogy you want to use. His mega heel run was just such a shame. But the fact that we got to see Randy Orton at this level that was catapulted and kickstarted by this program with Edge is something I think that is very special. And I hope that we get to see Randy Orton do this one more time, hopefully when fans are back. And I think he deserves another run with the World Championship, because the one he got in November of last year was just really lackluster. I found it was really, really poorly done, bad creative. I know that they were, you know, really gung-ho on Drew versus Roman to headline Survivor Series in an exhibition match, for lack of better terms. But, I mean, I think Randy Orton deserves one more run here. And as for Edge, I mean, I think he's going to get another run. Maybe he'll stay over on SmackDown. But their rivalry is one of the better told stories over the last couple of years, because they played back on history. And I've said this recently, that WWE has done more of that in recent months and recent years, like they did with Randy Orton and The Fiend. And I think that is why I enjoyed this rivalry so much, because as you heard Randy Orton say in his promo with Beth Phoenix, you know, he referenced them feuding over the Intercontinental Championship. He referenced them winning the World Tag Team Championships, traveling over the world. He brought up his real life struggles behind the scenes which he, you know, he disclosed to be true on the Broken Skull sessions, and how Edge helped them through that. They played on real life past events and things that we had witnessed on screen and things that we had heard about off screen. And the way it came together, obviously, aside from the fact of the COVID-19 pandemic, was just something magical, and hopefully we get to see Randy Orton get on that level sometime again soon. But look, guys, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Edge versus Randy Orton. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at Wrestling_Audio. You can email him at RealWWEPodcast@gmail.com. And like I said at the beginning of the show, subscribe to Patreon, guys. Go check out Wrestling Nostalgia. That's my personal favorite show of the week, even though I'm not on it. I love what Matt does. And our new show that will be exclusive to Patreon starting next week, the What If show Matt and I will be coming together to bring you each and every Saturday that will be dropping next in a week and a half. So anyways, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week.